Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll read verses 1 through 5 together. We'll read this passage responsively. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Second Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 5. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Forasmuch as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in the fleshy tables of the heart. As such trust have we through Christ to Godward. And let's finish on verse 5 together. Ready? Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for our church. Lord, I believe that 2,000 years ago, if you were looking for a place to say this is the reason Jesus would be born and die for, I believe it'd be our church. I believe this is what you had in mind back in the stable. Father, please fill our preacher with your heart, with your power. Fill our hearts with your presence, with your love, and with wisdom so that we might hear what you have for us. Take it with us to help change this world, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
The title of my sermon this evening is this: You are to be a Bible. You are to be a Bible. Let me read to you again one of the verses that we shared together earlier. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2, it says, Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. As you know, there's a portion of the New Testament that's called the pastoral epistles. What does that epistle word mean there? It's talking about a book or a letter. And here it is being said that we are to be like a book or a letter known and read of all men. I am to be readable. You're to be readable. And it says here, as Christians, people are, when they read what we are, they are to be reading what Jesus Christ is and was. It says here that ye are our epistles, known, now a lot of people know you, and read of all men. Now, it may not mean that all men everywhere, but everybody that comes in contact with you. So if you're a born-again Christian this evening, you are to be read of people. And when people read what you are, they ought to be reading what Jesus Christ is. We are to be photocopies of God's Word. My life is to be a photocopy of God's Word. I hate to tell you this. I got this real good idea about an illustration. I thought, you know, I am to be like the image of Christ. People are supposed to look at me and they're supposed to see Jesus Christ. So I thought, well, I'm going to go to the photocopier in my secretary's office and I'm going to make some photocopies of my face. Now, nobody knew it. I was in there, and I locked the door because I thought, you know, if anybody walks in there, they're really going to think I'm stupid, you know. So I'm in there, and I'm trying to push the buttons, and I couldn't get it to go. And I thought, well, the lid has to be down. So I'm trying to pull the lid down, but my head wasn't flat enough to get it all the way down. Finally, I thought, oh, great, the window's open. I thought there are probably people out there, probably visitors in the parking lot watching this fool pastor trying to take photocopies of his face. Well, I tried and tried, couldn't get it. Got ready to pull my head out and the flash went off. And my eyes, I couldn't see. I had to stay in my office for 5 minutes. I was like blind Bartimaeus because I thought, I'm not going to be able to see the priest. They're going to have to call the emergency squad to come get me tonight, all because I wanted a photocopy of my face. Never did get that picture. But you want to know something? You and I are to be photocopies of what Jesus was. That's why the Bible says we're to be his epistles, known That means there's an image. People look at us and they say, I know who you are, and red, of all men. Everybody we come in contact with. Now, here's the thing. A lot of people that, what I'll call religious people, you know, the people that drop in at the church every once in a while, somehow they think you're supposed to come down to the church and you're to be red as a Christian when you're at church, but then you go home and you're red as something else. Oh, no. No, we're to be known and read of all men all the time. I mean, we're to be good Christians at the church house and at your house and down at work and out in the community. We're to be photocopies of God's Word. Your life is the only Bible that some people may ever read. Look, there are people that you come in contact with, they never open up the Bible. They have no intention to. There are people that don't even have a Bible, and if they did, it's gathering dust. They're only going to pull it out someday, possibly for a funeral. They don't read it. But your life is the only Bible they may ever read. Are they reading a condensed version? You know, there are 66 books in this Bible, and it is packed full of truth. Are you packed full of truth? Your life is to be a book about what Jesus was. You and I are to live our lives as the spitting image of our Heavenly Father. It ought to be that when people look at us, they're reminded of Jesus Christ. We're a photocopy of God's Word. You know what? People read what our church is by reading you. People are reading you. People decide what they believe about our church by what they read in you. People read what I am by reading you. People read what you are when they read me. The other day I was at Kmart, and I had introduced myself to somebody in there, and I told them, I said, my name's Jeff Owens. I'm the pastor of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. And they said, oh, well, I know all about you. I said, you do? I said, yeah, well, I know so-and-so in your church. I thought, oh, brother. They know all about me because they know you. But you want to know something? There are some people that think they know all about Jesus because they know you. Because you are to be His image. You are to live His book. And there's some of this book that people will never read, but if they could read it in you, they could read what Jesus really was. People read what our congregation is by reading you. People read what our Christian school is by reading our Christian school's students. People read what our Lord was by reading you and I. People read what a Christian is supposed to be by reading you and I. The Bible says we are to be His epistles, known and read of all or by all men. When you read a Betty Crocker cookbook, you're learning how to cook. When you read a math book, you're learning math. When you read a science book, you're learning science. When you read an English book, you're learning English. When you read a Chilton's auto repair manual, you're learning how to fix that car. When you read the Wall Street Journal, you're learning something about finances. When you read a comic book, you're reading about the life of Greg Nash. When you read a Christian, you should be reading about Christ. You are known by many, and you are read by all of them. And when they read your life, they should be reading about Jesus Christ. How much of the story of your life is truly the story of Jesus? Is your life the spitting image of the Heavenly Father? Are you a photocopy of God's Word? Is your behavior reflecting the behavior of Jesus? Let me apply this to our lives this evening. Number one, people read you every day. People are watching you. People are watching me. I'm talking to everybody here tonight. Everybody here has somebody or many somebodies who are watching you. They are watching you. People are reading you like they read a newspaper. People read your attitude. Does it reflect Christ? People read your spirit. Is it the spirit of Jesus Christ? People read your smile or lack thereof. They read it. They read it.
You know, it doesn't take long standing in this pulpit looking at a sea of faces to figure out who enjoys Jesus and who doesn't. It doesn't take you long to know who feels that when they're in church they're like a fish out of water and who just loves being around the things. It doesn't take you long at all to tell. Because the people that love Jesus reflect His attitude. They reflect His spirit. They reflect His joy. Hey, people read your body language. It doesn't take much. You don't even have to say what you're thinking. All you have to do is make the gestures as people read you. They read you. Hey, 12th grader, the 11th graders are reading you. Are they reading Jesus Christ? Hey, 11th grader, the 10th graders are reading you. Are they reading Jesus Christ? Huh? Hey, 10th grader, the 9th graders are reading you. Are they reading Jesus Christ? Hey, Christians that have been saved for 40 and 50 and 60 years, people are reading you. What are the new Christians in our church reading? Reading when they see you, even if you're a brand new Christian here today, somebody is reading the story of your life. They're reading the story. Are they reading the story of Jesus Christ? Are they reading in you what Jesus was? Your neighbors are reading you. Let me tell you, maybe you didn't realize it, but they watch you leave every Sunday night. They say, there they go again, off to that church. They watched especially today.
Yes, sir.
Wanted to know if you really meant it.
Yes, sir.
When you pulled out, they said, they're real. Last year when we had Christmas on Christmas Day, they wondered, would you go? You did. They read you. Thank God they're reading the faithfulness of a Christian that loves Jesus Christ. Hey, people read you every day. Your mate reads you every day. Your children read you every day. Are they reading Jesus Christ? Your friends read you every day. The baby Christians read you. Christian of assumed seniority or maturity. The lost read us every day. The lost people that you work with, man, they're reading you every day. They're watching for the slip of the tongue, the misbehavior that convinces them through the devil's deceit that there's something phony about you. They're reading you. They read you every day. They're reading you. The lost people are reading you to see if the Savior that you claim is powerful enough to control you and to sustain your Christianity in everyday life. People read the way you talk. People read the way you do business, businessman. People read the way you work. People read the way you dress. People read the way you pay your bills. People read you every day. And the Lord knew that. That's why He said, you're to be my epistle. You are to be a photocopy of me. You're to be a photocopy of God's Word. And when people read you and they read me, they're to be reading Jesus Christ. They're to be seeing Him, not us, Him. Number two, let me ask you this question. What truth do people read when they read you? Christian, what are they reading when they read you? If we tested the people that you work with, if we tested your neighbors, just like a school test, if we tested them about what spiritual things they have learned by reading the book of your life, what kind of grade would they get? What would they tell us they have learned by reading you? Would anyone say they've learned love by reading you? Would anyone say, tell you what, I've watched that man. I've read his life. I see love in his life. What else are they supposed to be reading? They read my dirty jokes, yeah? What a good impact to make on people around you. Do they read love? What do they read when those around you read you? Do they read faithfulness? I hope so. I hope they read that you are faithful to your God. I hope they read that you're faithful to His Word. I hope people, when they read you, they read of the love of Jesus Christ and the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Do they read loyalty? Do people read loyalty about you when they read you? Your loyalty to your church, your loyalty to your God, your loyalty to His Word, your loyalty to your mate. The people around you ought to read loyalty that you have towards your wife. now read that so clearly. So clearly. Look, there ought not be women where you work that think they can flaunt themselves and flirt with you. They ought to know you're loyal to your wife. They ought to read that. They ought to say, that's not the guy to mess with right there. He loves his wife. I see faithfulness in him. I see loyalty in him. Oh, don't play that game of dabbling in sin and temptation. Be readable. Let people read. And they do. They're reading you. Do they read love? Do they read faithfulness when they read you? Do they read loyalty when they read you? Do they read hard work? And God knows that this world needs some hard-working people. Work hard. Do they read hard work when they read you? And you hear me say this often, and I think it is true. I think the hardest working people anywhere in this area ought to be the people from the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. We ought to be hard working. But people are reading us. Hey, when people read you, do they read thanksgiving? Do they read thankfulness? Do they really read it? Hey, does your boss read thankfulness when he reads you? When he's reading your life, is he does he see that you are a thankful person? For instance, I wonder how many of you will thank him for the paid day off that you got at Christmas. Well, I deserve that. You deserve hell, my friend. Sure wouldn't hurt if some people said to the boss, thank you for the day off. Sure appreciate the day of pay. Thank you for the bonus. Thank you for the little Christmas party. Well, I work hard around here. Oh, my. The way we are, we somehow think that this old world owes us a living. Somehow we think that everybody out there ought to cater to us. You're not a self-made man. You're breathing borrowed air. You're eating borrowed food. You're living in a borrowed body. You're nothing but dirt. If God could pull that dirt together and breathe into it life and give you the energy to work, I think we'd be thankful that we have a chance to do anything. But do people read thankfulness when they read you? Do people read a love for the souls of men? Do you have any concern that there is a heaven and a hell, and somebody's going to die and go to that heaven, or die and go to that hell? Do you have any concern? Would anybody read, when they read you, a concern for the souls of men? When invitation time comes at church, are you ready to get out of here as fast as you can? Are you willing to give us time to get some people saved during the church service? Oh, it ought to be exciting to us when people walk the aisles and trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Hey, we're being read. Folks, we are being read. Somebody watches you during the church service. They know if you're excited about what's going on. They're watching you sing. They're watching you read your Bible. They're watching you respond. They're watching you roll your eyes. They're watching you try to ignore what's going on. They're watching. They're reading you. You and I are being read continually. You say, well, Brother Owens, I don't like that pressure. I know, but there's no way to get rid of it. You can't escape being read. We're all being read. People are reading us daily. Do people read in you satisfaction? Good. Satisfaction? We live in such a dissatisfied world. You know, everybody here could be satisfied today. Everyone. If you just wanted what you have. You just said, it's what God's given me. I'm going to be satisfied with what God's given me. You see, satisfaction is not found in what you have. It's found in what you are. If you just said, what I have is fine with me because I've just decided to be a satisfied person. Many, many years ago, I began to experience what dissatisfaction does to you. I remember I was working at an Ace Hardware as a stock boy. I think they paid me $3.50 an hour, and I was 16 years old, and I said, you know what? If I could only make $4 an hour, I'd be happy. Well, I got a raise, and I started making $4 an hour, and the minute I got it, I said, you know something? If I could only make $5 an hour, I think I could be happy. I remember I made $5 an hour. It didn't take me long until I said, you know, if I could only make $6 an hour, I know I'd be satisfied and happy. And I made six. And I said, if I could make seven, and I made seven. I said, if I could make eight, and I made eight, and nine, and 10, and 11, and 12, and 13, and 14, and 15, and 16, and 17, and 18, and 19, and 20, and 21, and 22, 23, and 24, and 25. I'm sure at one time in my life I was making $30 an hour. He said, you know what? If I could just get $30.50, I think I'd be satisfied. Have you noticed how we are? We don't want what we have. We want just a little more. Therefore, we're always chasing that invisible ghost of satisfaction, always looking for something to satisfy, when truly it's right down inside us. If you wanted to be satisfied, you could choose to be satisfied. The very house you want to get rid of because you're dissatisfied, somebody else is going to move into it and say, "This is the house of my dreams." It's just the way it is. Do people read satisfaction when they read you? Do people read peace? You know something? People ought to look at your life and look at my life and see a very sweet peace that we have, even through our trials. Why? We have the God of the universe. We have the Prince of Peace on our side, leading us through every trial and every difficulty. We shouldn't be like the world. We shouldn't be like them. We shouldn't be falling apart. No, we've got a God to take care of us, and a big God, and He's our Heavenly Father. Are they reading peace in your life? Do they read that you are separated from the world or like the world? You see, people read us. When they read you, what truth do they read? Do they read love? Do they read faithfulness? Do they read loyalty? Do they read hard work? Do they read thankfulness? Do they read a love for the souls of men? Do they read satisfaction and peace and separation from this world? Or do they read heresy, mistruth? What do they read? See, a preacher can get up and preach something that's not true. I mean, a preacher can get up and say all sorts of things that are not true. I know of a preacher in this town that said they thought it was silly that we had church services today. They said they thought that this Sunday ought to be a family day and they ought to cancel church. Well, I think today ought to be a family day too. And you ought to bring your family to church like God said. There are people that preach mistruths. Well, now wait a minute. If someone could preach heresy from the Word of God, couldn't you and I live some heresy since we're to be photocopies of the Word of God? We are to be living the truth so people read the truth in our lives. But is your life like a false Bible? Is your life perverting the truth of what somebody else thinks a Christian should be? What heresies do people read in you and I? Do people read hatred in your life? Oh, I think we ought to hate sin, but I think we ought to love the sinner. But I think people ought to look at the life of a Christian and read love, not hate. What impression have you given someone with your behavior? Has someone read hatred in your life, Christian? Has someone read an unimportance regarding God's house? Has someone read your life and said, you know what, it must not be important that you're faithful to church. They're Christians. They hardly ever go. Hey, what's someone read in your life? Has someone read laziness and therefore they justify being lazy at work because they watch you? Because you're a Christian. I mean, you know God. You've got a Bible. You claim to be on your way to heaven. You claim to love God. Look at how you live. There are people that will justify their misbehavior because you have misrepresented the truth about laziness. How do people read you? Do they read that lying is okay? Do they read that stinginess is okay? I mean, if a Christian will do it, it must be okay. Do they read dissatisfaction? Do they read worry and fret? Do they read criticism and negative talk? Is that what they read in you? Do you know why some people have a very difficult time witnessing to the people they work with? I'll tell you why. Because they have so tainted their own testimony, they can't figure out how to get out of it. They would have to renege a whole bunch of things they've said, a whole bunch of things that they've done, and a whole bunch of behaviors, because they have so marred their own personal reputation, they're afraid to stand up and say, "Oop, that's wrong." Why can't they say, "Oop, that's wrong"? Because they lived it knowingly in the presence of people at work, and they're embarrassed to admit they've been wrong. But we need to be read. And we need to be read for the truth, not error. It ought to be when people read us. They don't read worldliness. They shouldn't read gossip. They shouldn't read criticism. They shouldn't read worry and threat. They should read faith. They should not read dissatisfaction or stinginess or lying is okay or laziness or unfaithfulness or hatred. They should read separation and peace and satisfaction and a love for the souls of men and thankfulness. And they ought to read hard work and loyalty and faithfulness and love. We're being read. We are being read. For the people that won't come to church and pull out a Bible and read the Bible with us, we are being read like a book. And the Lord said, ye are my epistles known and read by all or of all men. They're reading us. Let me ask you this and I'm finished. Do you entice people to want to read more or less? Do you entice people to want to read more of the things of God or less? Have you ever read a book or a story where you just can't put it down and you can't wait to get to the last chapter to figure out what's going to happen? Boy, there are some people that write, and they write in such a way where they just keep you hanging on. Now, this is going to sound like a silly book, and probably nobody in here has ever heard of it, but when I was a kid, I enjoyed reading, and I remember reading a book. It was called The Catcher with a Glass Arm. It was about this kid, and he was a catcher, and he had a hard time throwing the ball to second base. And I don't know, maybe when I had my little third grade mind, now I have a fourth grade mind, but back when I had that little third grade mind, I can remember reading that book, and I don't know how it happened to me, but I was enthralled with that story. And I mean, I couldn't hardly put it down. I read it and read it and read it. And I remember the few times I had to set the book aside, I was miserable, and I thought, I want to read more of that. I want to get around it more. I couldn't wait to read more. Hey, Christian, are you being read like that? Is it possible that you have the attributes of Jesus Christ to the degree that people get around you and say, I'd like to get a little more of that guy? I'd like to be around that person just a little bit more. I am so enamored with their behavior. I'm so enamored with the unique balance of their life. They stand for right, but they stand for it in a right way. They have love, but yet they hate sin. They are kind, and there's something about them that's unique and special. I'd just like to be around them. You know something? If every Christian in the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church would be read and known of all men, and we would develop the attributes of Christ, there'd be people coming to our church just to see a little bit more of what's happening in your life. I like to go out there and see what's going on out there. I like to see, hey, I wonder what's affecting you like that. Who at work is attracted to Jesus because of you? Or who at work is unattracted to Jesus because of you?
Right.
Who does your life entice to church? Or who does your life hinder from coming to church? Who is impressed with our church because they read you? Or who is not impressed? See, but that's kind of not fair. Yeah, I know. But they do it. There are people that won't come to church because of me or you.
Right.
They say, well, they ought to come for Jesus. I know. I agree. Let's go tell them all. Where am I going to listen? They're still going to decide if they come to this church based on me and you. You say, well, they ought to grow up. Well, we want to get them in church so we can grow them up spiritually. But truth is, they're going to make a lot of decisions on what they think. See, they're not spiritual. They're carnal. They're not mature. So they're going to look at you and I, and from there, they will derive an impression, and they'll get an impression about what Jesus is and what our church is, and that's how they'll make their decision. Who thinks our church is full of good people because they read you? Or who thinks our church is full of bad people? It's funny how people are. Out there in the community, they'll come across one sour apple and they say, I'm never going out to that church. Everybody there steals thousands of dollars from you. That's not necessarily true. That's how people think, huh? So who thinks our church is full of good people because of you? And who thinks our church is full of bad people because of you? Who thinks our church is full of moral people because of you? Then who thinks that our church lets immorality run wild because of you?
Good.
That's how people think. Well, I think that we have some young people in here that have testimonies of purity and virginity and cleanness. And I think there are people in our community that say, there's a good batch of young people out there. But then somebody goes out and starts sleeping around, and people know they come to our church. And then people say, well, a bunch of whoremongers out there. Well, wait a minute. We're not all whoremongers. It's funny. People read our whole congregation based on me and based on you. Who thinks our church is full of happy, peaceful people because they read you? Who out there thinks our church is a happy church? Who's reading you and says, I'll tell you what, how much this be a happy group of people? And who out there thinks we're a bunch of grumps? Who out there thinks we're all depressed beyond measure? Because they look at you and you're just always depressed. You can't seem to get any victory. You've got the Holy Spirit of God living inside you, but there's just no way you can laugh, you can have a good time. You never have victory. Don't ask what's wrong with you, because we don't have time to figure it all out. People are reading us. Who is enticed to bring their marriage to our church because of yours? Who wants their children to be here because they look at our families? Folks, people are reading us. Thor said that. He said that we would be known and read of all men. And so, even as we go through difficult times, we're being read of all men. I'm being read. You're being read. The lost are reading us. The younger Christians are reading us. Our families are reading us. We're to be a photocopy of Jesus. When people look at me and you, they should see the attributes of Jesus Christ. And if we'll do that, we'll find our lives happier, and we'll find our Lord happier with our lives. And we'll find all sorts of people attracted to what we are. Now, again, I'll tell you, we want them to look at Jesus. That's what we want. We're not trying to exalt ourselves. Oh no, we're a bunch of sinners. But we're sinners that have a responsibility to be His representative, and there's no way out of it. And I don't care how hard you try, you're not going to get the people out there not to look at us. You say, it's unfair that they look at one and judge us. I know. I agree. There's nothing you're going to do about it. They're going to read us. So if you're a brand new Christian or a brand old Christian, let's all be like Jesus. Oh, that'd be a good goal for 2007. Let's just be like Jesus. Let's become photocopies of what He is. And you say, well, how will I know what He is? Right there. That's Him. The Word of God. We are all to be like a Bible. Known and read of all men. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you get saved, then your attempt to live right will be so much easier, because you'll have the God of this book living within you, and He can help you to clean up your life. You don't clean up your life to get saved. You clean up your life because you are saved, and He'll help you to do so. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, we invite you to the Savior. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.